It's been a little, people been kind of staying in their apartments over parkland because there's been so much food around, but Pat and I both had a little spell of it, but we are okay now.
Good. Since you're here, that's good that you're okay now.
Pat asked me to come over here. How long's it been since we've been church? I said, 2 weeks. She said, oh, they won't even know.
I almost introduced myself to you when y'all walked in. All right. Anyone else? Very well. Let's set those to the side. We'll go to prayer time here in a little bit. Hopefully you had an outline in your prayer bulletin tonight. Now, okay, if you look at the lesson title, Managing Your Health. Don't turn me off just yet, okay? I know what you're thinking, okay? We're going to hear about how we have to be on a diet or what. No, you're actually not going to hear that tonight. You're not going to hear that at all. What I want to do is take a biblical approach to not just our eating, but our overall health as well. And that's why we're going to spend 2 weeks on it. There are a lot of, one-liner jokes that people throw out to dismiss poor management of our health, okay? And all people do it. I even do this. Some people say every time I get up to exercise, I lie down till that feeling passes, you know? Or the second day of a diet is always easier than the first. By the second day, you're off of it. Or we're all going to die, we might as well die happy. I've said that before when it comes to the dozen Krispy Kreme donuts or something like that, right? Or here's another one that I've said before, I'll have plenty of time to sleep when I'm dead. And that's kind of true, but that's a wrong philosophy to apply to health management. And folks, this is serious. Our health is one of the resources that God has given us to serve Him. Not ourselves, but Him. And so first, let's look at there in your outline, that first point, why care? Why even care about this at all? Because, like I just said, we're all going to die anyway, right? Well, 3 John, verse number 2, it says this, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, the apostle John, he's writing to the disciple John, he's writing to his friend Gaius. And he's writing to him to enjoy the same physical health that he already possesses spiritually. Look at that verse. I desire that thou be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Gaius, I want your health to be as good as your spiritual health. He wanted Gaius to be free from, and all of us can attest to this, the distractions of illnesses and pain so that he could carry out the work that God had for him in the most effective way possible. That's key right there. Why do we have our bodies? God gave us our bodies. Why? Why did he give these things to us? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Paul asks the question, what? It's kind of like, hello? Duh? You know? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What was the price for our bodies? Christ's death, right. When Christ purchased us on the cross, he didn't just purchase our souls, but our bodies as well. So we belong to Christ. Let me ask you a question, and go ahead and give me feedback on this. And I'll ask it this way because we're most familiar with this concept, okay? Why do most people either diet or start eating better? What are some reasons that people begin dieting or eating better? Better health, okay? To lose weight, okay? What else? Their looks. They can look better, right? I mean, swimsuit season's coming up, right? That's how they sell the diet plans in the spring, folks. So they don't get sick, okay? Oh, they're already sick and they're trying to get better, right? Those are all valid reasons why people will start a diet or at least start eating better. Because someone mentioned that they want to look better. They want to fit into their clothes, okay? They want to feel better. They want to maybe have more energy. They want to think clearer. They want to get better, like Monty said. Or they want to ward off future health problems like diabetes and high blood pressure. Now, those are all wrong reasons to do this. So if that has ever been your reason, I want you to just discount them and throw them out the window now. No wonder most of our attempts, okay, most of people's attempts at doing one of those two things, no wonder they don't work. Because their primary reason for doing them is selfishness. I want to look better. I want to fit into my clothes. I want to feel better. I want to think clearer. I want to have a clearer mind. I want to not get diabetes. I. It's all about self. Now, what should our reason be? Folks, these bodies don't belong to us. We've borrowed them. I know, we all get sick. We all get older. All of our bodies will wear out. We will develop illnesses and limitations as we get older. It's unavoidable. Why? Why doesn't God just allow us to stay in perfect health until the day he brings us home? I mean, wouldn't we get so much more stuff done? Why does getting older mean getting slower and more aches and pains and more visits to the doctor? Our reason for doing this should be, this is not my body. I'm going to take care of it because it belongs to someone else. Our reason should be, this is not my body. I'm going to take care of it so that I can get the most out of it I can in serving God. Now, you're doing the same thing. You're starting a diet. You're eating better, but for a whole different motivation. What happens when you start feeling better? You stop trying so hard at eating better, right? What happens if you fit into the clothes? Well, you better keep the big clothes because it's going to come back, right? And that's why diet plans have been around for decades. And people keep going back to them and back to them and back to them. They're doing things for the wrong motivation. Our reason that God didn't put us, or the reason that our bodies don't stay in perfect health until we die is, first of all, there's sin in the world. It's one of the effects of sin on this world. But another reason is found by looking at an occurrence in the New Testament. Turn to John chapter 9. I'll give you a second to turn there. Jesus and his disciples, they're walking along one day, and as they're walking, they pass a man on the side of the road who was blind. He was born blind. And they're discussing among themselves, they're trying to determine, now, why was he born blind? That's kind of foolish to do that, but they decided then to ask Christ, Why was this man born blind? Look at verse 2 of John 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Can you see their lack of wisdom in that question there? First of all, they've determined if he's blind, there must be sin involved. But secondly, they're actually questioning that this man who was born blind, maybe it was from his sin before he was even born. How's that happen? Who sinned, this man or his parents? Here's Christ's answer to that. Verse 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. So why is he born blind? That the works of God should be made manifest in him. Jesus healed the man, and God was glorified. That's why the man was born blind. I mention this occurrence to point out that we're studying the management of our life here for several weeks. Specifically, right now, tonight, we're looking at the management of our health. We have to keep in mind, we have to keep it in perspective with the bigger picture, God's purposes. You know, a person could do everything right, eat normal, eat healthy, exercise, do everything that the experts say they can do, and they're still going to get the flu sometime, okay? And carry on the hand sanitizer all the time, and they're still going to get the flu. They're still going to get sick. Their bodies are still going to wear out. But what we need to understand that in both sickness and health, God has a purpose for both. Just like this blind man. God desires, whether we're sick or healthy, that our lives would bring him glory. That's what he designed us to do. It's bigger than how you or I feel. Bigger than that is how we are magnifying Christ with our life. The purpose of a Christian is always that God would be glorified through our lives, in everything that we do. Okay, now, let's talk about food. Krispy Kremes do not fall into any of the major food groups, okay? I've been convicted about that. There are different diets out there. Low fat, low carb, gluten-free, paleo, sugar-free, organic. And there's different biblical opinions even about different foods that are available to us. For example, the Old Testament diet consisted of high fiber and lots of vegetables. And if they ate meat, it had to be from clean animals like deer or cow or sheep. No bacon. That was not part of their diet. Pigs were not considered a clean animal. That's tough, okay? That was the diet that God gave to the Israelites in the Old Testament. I don't believe there's anything wrong with that selection of food in the Old Testament. If someone wants to eat that, great. Some people make it a matter of sin if you do or if you don't eat that. If you eat bacon, there's a spiritual problem. I disagree with that, folks, because in the New Testament, in the dream that Peter had, praise the Lord, there was a pig in that blanket, all right? Bacon is back on the table now, and God told Peter, go eat it. Go eat it. Now, they might say, well, yeah, that's true, but that dream was not, the intention was not to change the dietary laws of the Israelites, but rather to tell Peter, you can go minister to the Gentiles. Okay, I get that. But now let's go back to the Old Testament and look at the reasoning that the people have there. God gave it to these Israelites, and they had to eat this or they were not right with God. But now let's think about this. God didn't give them that dietary plan because they needed help with their nutrition. He gave them that plan in order to set them apart from the nations around them. So again, it has nothing to do necessarily with the nutritional value, but experts today do show that high fiber and lots of vegetables are good for you. I think the key here is balance, okay? We need to have a balance in the types of foods that we eat. So what is the answer then when it comes to food? Low carb, low fat, high carb, no sugar, organic. What's the answer? Here it is, number two, eat for nourishment. When you eat, why do you eat? Why do people eat? Let me get some feedback from you again. Why? What are the reasons that people eat? Okay, I'll do the obvious. They're hungry, okay? What are some other reasons that people eat? What's that? It tastes good, okay? What else? What's that? Stress. It's a stress reliever. Yes, what else? I think they call that comfort food, right? Okay, so we eat because it tastes good, and we eat because it helps us psychologically medicate ourselves, maybe. What any other reasons? Boredom, okay? Social status, okay, all right. Anything else? Fellowship. The clock says it's time to eat. It's noon. I got to have lunch, right? All these different reasons that people eat, but we don't normally think of eating for the purpose of nourishment. Let me give you an example this way. Your car requires gasoline, okay? I'm just going to draw some parallels here. So you pull up to a gas station with your car, pull up to the gas pump, you get out of the car, you look at the gas pump, and there it's like a vending machine. You have selections of what you can put into your car. And you're looking at those selections, and you think, oh, wow, this one looks good, and it's a good price. So I think I'll put this into my car, because your car is needing some gas. So you put it in your car, and you pull that handle, and the gas starts going into your tank, and you can hear it. And if you're holding on to the handle, you can even feel it going through the handle. And it's filling up your tank. And then the tank's full. But, oh, you are enjoying this so much, you just keep it going. And it's spraying out all over, and you're just like, oh, yes, I love this gas. Oh, this is wonderful. Oh, fill it some more. It's full? Oh, too bad. I'll just keep filling it. Now, that's ridiculous, isn't it? But that's how we eat a lot of times, isn't it? I'm full, so I'm going to keep eating. How many of you go to the gas station when your gas gauge says full on your car? Nobody does that. But when we're full, we won't hesitate to go get another piece of pie, right? Or whatever. Or it doesn't matter if we're full or not. I need to be relieve some stress. Okay, so I've got to have a donut or whatever your comfort food is, or a bag of potato chips, not just a handful, but a bag of potato chips. Or I've got to have some more coffee, okay, or whatever the case is. And we take food substances into our bodies, but not for the sake of nourishment. This is the answer. Eat for nourishment. Some people, and by the way, when you're done spraying all that gas, your car's full and it's all over you, and you need a napkin just to wipe it off and all that, what do? You swipe your card and you drive away. And you don't even think about all that you took in, especially with swiping a card, right? We don't even think about the cost of it. Now, I know some people, like, they know to the penny how much they spent for gas last week and what their mileage is, and they keep notebooks in their car and they write stuff down, okay? But most people don't do that. I would say most people don't even look at the price on the sign when they pull up. And most of us, when we eat, we don't consider the cost that it has on our bodies with what we're eating and how much we're eating. Some people have a gas budget. When my wife and I go on vacation, like we did here a week or two ago, we sit down ahead of time, and we figure out how many miles it is, and we figure out the average price of gas. We figure out, based on the mileage that my car gets, about how many gallons of gas we're going to need, and then we know how much cash to bring to buy gas along the way. It's a budget, just like we do with our other finances. And then we can determine how much gas we're going to need for that trip. That's the idea here as far as eating for nourishment. How much do I need to live on? How much gas do I need to get through my day? Not how many pieces of this or how many plates of this would I enjoy. You see, it's a whole different way of looking at this. We live in a culture that lives to eat instead of eating to live. It's a big difference. And we see the results. I read this somewhere. Many have observed that in our unrestrained love for food, most of us are digging our own graves with a fork and spoon. And there's a lot of truth to that. Folks, we honor the Lord when we exercise self-control and eat primarily for nourishment rather than for pleasure. Number three, what we have to do is remember to replenish. Remember to replenish. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to look at Elijah for a bit here tonight. He knew the hand of God. He knew the hand of God's power in his life. Do you remember that scene at Mount Carmel when he called down fire from heaven at the end of the day? And yet, it was at the foot of Mount Carmel that he crashed. Look with me at verse number 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Let's stop there for a minute. Queen Jezebel had just issued a decree to have him killed. Now, this is the guy who just called down fire from heaven, okay? At that point, we would be thinking, all right, so God's obviously on my side. Who's this Jezebel woman anyway? God's on my side. But he crashed. Now, look what he did, verse 4. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he's completely depleted by this time. He sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." Shocking, isn't it? Or is it? We live, folks, we live in a culture that demands speed, urgency, pressures that we were not designed to sustain indefinitely. Day after day after day, breakneck speed. Now you combine that for a Christian with the spiritual warfare, and we have a serious drain on our resources that just totally melt us down, that requires purposed or intentional frequent replenishment. In other words, sometimes we need to have our batteries recharged. We see that prescribed by God for Elijah. Let's look at God's prescription. First thing that we need to do to replenish is find solitude. Folks, Elijah was tapped out. And he was just serving God. Serving God tapped him out. It drained him. He wasn't smiling. We could say emotionally discouraged, at the least. His mood was affected. And notice this, he wasn't thinking straight. Because we read his reaction, we're like, what is he thinking? He wasn't thinking straight. Why? Because he's physically, emotionally, mentally drained. We've been there, haven't we? Worst time of all to make any major decisions in your life is when you're tired, okay? And you know how they say, never go to the grocery store when you're hungry. You make bad decisions, okay? And here we, and that happens to us too. So first, God said, Elijah, you need some solitude. That means break away from the noise, the hustle and bustle, the stress, the pressures. It might even mean turn off the electronic devices. I've known people before who have the TV on all day long. And what do they say it's on for? Just for the noise. We need times without noise, solitude. Sometimes we need that. We need to break away. We need to disengage to replenish. I know people, and some people in here have had knee replacements, so you can relate to this. After a knee replacement, you have to go through what's called therapy, where a trained, licensed torturer comes to your house and takes that leg and bends it. It doesn't want to bend, okay? And that therapist, they call them, they bend it a little bit and a little bit in order to increase your range of motion over time, right? You understand that, okay? So suppose your therapist comes over, grabs your leg, and starts just bending it back and forth like this at breakneck speed for 3 hours. You're going to die, okay? Or wish you were dead. Your body can't handle that at that time. So how does therapy work? A little bit every day. A little bit every day. You work that knee joint a little bit, and people that have had knee replacements have told me, and if you've had it, you know this is true. And when the therapist leaves, oh man, you're sore. But the next day, you've had a time to replenish, your body has, and you're ready for the therapist to work on it some more. Folks, we cannot go 100 miles an hour and not expect to have some kind of engine failure. And I've known guys that have bragged about, oh, when I was younger, I would work 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. And man, nothing could keep me down. They called me the Energizer Bunny, okay? That's what Mel used to call me that all the time. Nothing could keep me down. And here they are in their 60s, late 60s, and their bodies are shot. They're falling apart. And they can't serve like they want to, okay? We have to take care of our bodies. We need that time for replenishment. And that's especially hard when we're younger. Now, the second thing in God's prescription after replenishment is rest. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 5. And as he lay, Elijah lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Elijah just disengaged and got some sleep. Does anyone know the standard level of sleep for an adult, according to the experts today? 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. 7 to 9 hours of decent sleep, okay? Now that may sound unspiritual to some people that think if the sun's up, we got to keep working, you know? But God built us with a need for sleep. Now, some people abuse that, okay? And he addresses the sluggard in Proverbs. But many people are running on non-standard levels of sleep, and they need rest. Have you ever been overwhelmed before? Worn out? Tired? You go to bed, you get a good night's sleep, and what happens in the morning? You feel a little better, don't you? you're thinking a little more clearer too. And when we just get sleep deprived, okay, where our mood changes, right? Does anyone get cranky when they're sleepy? Yeah, don't raise your hand, that's fine. Unless you want to raise your hand like this and point to someone else. Get moody. We need rest. And then God gave Elijah a third prescription, and that's nourishment. Verse 5 there, he said, "Arise and eat." An angel woke up Elijah and said, "Eat." Verse 6, "And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again." Hold on right there. He ate and he laid down again. More rest. Now, this is interesting. Look at verse 7. "And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because thy journey is too great for thee.'" The angel had him eat again later, a second time. Why? Because Krispy Kremes aren't any good the next day, so you got to eat them all now? No, they weren't Krispy Kremes. They were just a cake, some kind of bread. Ugh, you know? So it wasn't for Elijah's enjoyment. It was, he needed it. It was for something, it was for nourishment. It's there in that last phrase, "because thy journey is too great for thee." There was something God needed him to do, and that's why he was to eat. And that's why we should eat. That should be our reason for eating. His eating was to live, not living to eat. Elijah, folks, he was drained. He was so done, so far depleted, that he actually thought dying was the best option. Now, I'm not saying he was suicidal, but just totally depleted. No hope. God's answer for this: let's call the doctor and get a prescription. Wrong. Solitude, rest, balanced meals. You know, folks, we're all in different ages in this room here tonight. Different life experiences that we've had. Whatever level of health we have been given or have left, it's a gift to use for God. Wherever it's at. There's someone that I'll just say by first name since we're live streaming. Her name's Linda, and many of you know Linda. And years ago, she used to run the bus routes here. I just love Linda. Linda is the type of person, was, since she's not able to serve anymore, she used what she had. And if you know Linda, she didn't have much in many areas, but she used what she had, however little it was, whether it's financially, physically, it didn't matter. She used what she had. It would, as a youth pastor, it would make me nervous when I would see her go out in her van with barbed wire and duct tape holding it together to pick up kids. I'm like, oh man, this is a liability nightmare. She didn't care. She just wanted to get kids to church. It didn't matter to her at all. She wasn't gifted in the skill of public speaking, was she? Am I describing any of us in here tonight? She was older in life when I knew her working on the bus route. She wasn't gifted in the skill of public speaking, but that didn't stop her from talking about Jesus, ever. No matter where she was at, no matter what her health was. She wasn't a singer. She wasn't gifted with a voice. Several years ago, she went with a group of us to Mexico on a missions trip. I know she's not a singer. But when we were standing in the airport and she put those headphones on, She sang like no one was in the airport. I know she's not a singer, but that didn't stop her. She sang anyway. And I just kind of like did this. Folks, while there are some things that are out of our control when it comes to our health, we are often too quick to neglect the basic disciplines of managing our health. Solitude, rest, balanced meals. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about this idea of rest. Let me just throw this out to you, give you something to consider. You have runners in a relay, several runners, and they're running a race. They're all taking their turn. The first runner comes in from his leg of the race. He's ran it as hard as he can. And what happens? He stops. The next one comes out and starts, right? Well, now that doesn't make any sense. Why doesn't he just do the second leg? He's already out there after all, and he could do it. But it wouldn't be as fast as the first leg, would it? So they pull him out. They put in someone that is fresh. And what's the first one doing? On marathon relays, he's resting so that when he goes back out again, instead of running this leg of the race in 30 minutes, because he's rested, he could do it in 15 minutes, let's say. You see, rest, we need it. So that when we go back to work, we can be even more effective in what we do. And a lot less grumpy too, right? Okay, so we're going to stop there for tonight. Let's go ahead and take some time for prayer.